Want to start things off with a story about a couple of friends who happened to bump into each other while they're out on the street one day. And one of them looked rather sad and lonely, kind of dejected, almost on the verge of tears. You know, this guy was just looking really down. And so his buddy asked him, you know, what's the matter? The sad fellow said, well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my great aunt, whom I hardly knew, passed away, and I inherited almost $100,000. His friend replied, well, I'm really sorry for your loss, but it sounds like you've been really blessed. Sad friend continued, but that's not all. 2 weeks ago, my cousin that I never knew died, and he left me $75,000 and his mint condition 65 Mustang GT fastback. His friend replied, I'm really sorry about your cousin, but he must have really thought a lot of you to give you such a sweet ride. He says, you just don't understand, the man interrupted. Look, last week my uncle died and he left me $40,000. His friend thought he knew that what was going on and that he understood, and he was going to try to console his friend. He started saying, look, I understand that you're really down because you've lost so many of your close relatives, but, and the sad friend interrupted. He says, no, you just don't understand. This week, so far, no inheritance. Okay, yeah, it's a bad preacher joke. Oh, okay. Okay, so can you just imagine, though, losing all of those relatives in such a short time? I mean, that would be really sad. But we also would be thankful for the blessings of that inheritance. And that said, I don't know too many people who have that many relatives that have that kind of money to be leaving to others. And, I don't have any relatives like that. But, you know, if you don't either and you're not expecting a windfall inheritance, well, that's okay, because I do have good news for you. You do have an inheritance. If you're a child of God, then you have a priceless spiritual inheritance from God. And so what we're going to do today is continue our Standing on the Promises of God sermon series with one of the great promises that we have from God, and that is that every child of God receives an inheritance. And you say, okay, well, where does God make that promise? Well, let's go ahead and take a look at Romans chapter 8. And this is Romans chapter 8 in verses 16 and 17, where we're told that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And I read that and I say, wow, you know, if you and I are children of God, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. I think, you know, we really need to let that sink in to appreciate it. We aren't merely servants of God, although we are. And we aren't just saints of God, although we are. We are told here that we are children of God and therefore heirs of God. And so as God's children, we have a right, if you will, to the family fortune. And my father is God, and the fortune that he has, well, wow. I mean, it's beyond comparison, you know? We're heirs, and therefore we're beneficiaries, right, of this great heavenly fortune, if you will. Let me just say, though, of course, that with God being the giver of all good things, you know, when you think about what this all entails, let's just say you won't have to worry about anything. And of course, I'm not talking about material things at all. Remember that we're told that our new bodies at the time of the resurrection won't have any need of perishable things like money or earthly treasures. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and starting in verse 42, we're told that so it will be at the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It has sown a natural body. It has raised a spiritual body. There's natural body. There's also a spiritual body. And so, you know, like we talked about 2 weeks ago with the promises of the resurrection, we all will have spiritual bodies. In essence, actually, we are a spiritual body just covered in flesh right now, okay? Anyway, that means that our inheritance is going to be spiritual. As a matter of fact, it will be an inheritance filled with every spiritual blessing. And that's what we're told over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we're reminded that as Christians, as heirs of God, that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, it seems to me that God wanted to know something important here. I mean, there's a number of things that we could see that are important here, of course, but that as co-heirs with Christ, God has not just blessed us with a few spiritual blessings or some spiritual blessings. On the contrary, we're told here that God has blessed us with every, or all, the Greek is, spiritual blessings. Here's what Peter reminded the Christians over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. There in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." I think about that. I think, wow. As heirs of God, we have an inheritance that can never perish or is incorruptible or imperishable. It can never spoil. In other words, it will be undefiled. It will remain pure. It can never fade away. It's always going to remain and be just as incredible as it was the first time we experienced. Unlike a bag of chips that will go stale after you open it. Okay? And it's all kept securely in the most amazing place in heaven for you and me. And just what will that look like? What will that be like? Well, we don't really know, to be honest. But the Apostle John tried to describe it the best he could in his visions in Revelation. For example, over in Revelation chapter 4, the beauty and majesty of the throne of God is described for us in vivid detail, comparing the wonder of it all to gems and precious stones and jewels. And it's just all sparkly, shiny, and blinding white as far as light is concerned, you know. But there's all these colors. It's amazing. That said, you know, is it really going to look like that? I have no idea. But he's giving us his understanding as inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down the best he could from what he experienced. The point is, though, our imagination is too timid to understand God's dream for us. We are simply too limited in our understanding of all that God wants for us and is providing for us and has in store for us. Still, every child of God receives that inheritance. And our inheritance is filled with every spiritual blessing of Christ. It's bigger and more wonderful than we could ever imagine. But is that typically how we view ourselves? I mean, think about that. Is it typically how we live our lives, that we have this wonderful spiritual inheritance that's beyond our imagination? Seems to me that there are some Christians that don't know how blessed they really are and end up living like they're paupers in Christ. Like they're paupers in Christ. Some of you might remember this story from the end of the year back in 2012. I remember it actually, and I thought it was quite impactful, which is why we've included it here. It was just 2 days after Christmas when the 60-year-old body of Timothy Gray was found under a Wyoming overpass. There was no sign of foul play and no indication of crime or mischief. He was simply a homeless cowboy who died of hypothermia. Sadly, Timothy Gray was a victim of bad breaks and bad luck. But come to find out, Gray's great-grandfather was a wealthy copper miner. railroad builder, and the founder of what would become Las Vegas, Nevada. And when he passed away, he had amassed an incredible fortune. And he left his fortune to his daughter, Huguette, who died in 2011 at the age of 104. And she in turn left a $300 million fortune. And you guessed it, Timothy Gray was set to inherit some of that money, $19 million of it. So how does the heir of a fortune like that die like a pauper? I don't know. But I think, you know, he probably, knew his family history, that his great-grandfather was this, you know, incredibly wealthy guy. I mean, I would know that. I mean, I would think so. But, you know, maybe he was out of touch with some of his family over the years. But still, if he was so down on his luck, didn't it ever occur to him maybe to check out some of the family members and see about a potential inheritance? I mean, even if his motives weren't pure, I would think that's what he would think to do. I mean, it would occur to me if I was in that situation. If it was me, I probably would have camped out on my great aunt's doorstep, you know, just kind of waiting around, you know, or maybe I'd keep looking for documents or papers. I think that most people that down on their luck would probably do whatever they can to make those connections. I mean, I think that most people would do whatever they could to gain access to that inheritance. Maybe take out a small loan, kind of like the man who wanted the inheritance from his father there in the scriptures. Even looking at the parable of the prodigal son. I think that in some ways, though, that's also your right, though, as a family member to have a part of that inheritance. Because as a Christian, we have rights as a family member of the family of God. Over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 through 29, Galatians 3, 26 through 29, we're reminded that all of us who are Christians let me just read the verses. That will probably clear things up, right? Galatians 3, 26 through 29, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Think about it. If people have, you know, the kind of attitude that's really a go-getter after earthly, physical, financial matters when things, you know, are kind of, you know, down, what about our attitude toward spiritual matters? Do we really have an appreciation for our spiritual inheritance as much as some people have for a financial inheritance? You know, if we really are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, like the scripture says, then why is it that some of us do live like spiritual paupers under a bridge somewhere? And I know that life can get us down. Trust me, I know that life can get us down. I've lived long enough to been down there a couple times, you know. Work can be hard. Money can be tight. COVID right now can be overwhelming. But sadly, when things like that happen, when life and circumstances and commitments become so overwhelming, we tend to find ourselves focusing only on our strength, on our strength, and on our physical resources. And we tend to forget about God and His strength and His resources. And that's why whenever we face those crisis moments, it's even more important than ever that we remember God's promise that we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Think about it. That that's not who we are. You know, we aren't spiritual paupers, right? We're spiritual heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That's who we are as Christians. We have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Thing is, again, we have to keep reminding ourselves that we are children of the living and loving God, and that help is available and on the way. I want to go ahead and read a little bit more from Romans 8 that we read before. This time we're going to back all the way up to chapter Romans 8, verse 14, and read all the way down to verse 17. So this is Romans 8, 14 through 17. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, the Greek word that's translated as sonship here is better translated as adoption or adopted sons, right? But, you know, adoption. And that's really an important point because in Paul's day, those adopted into a family became sons in every sense of the word. And they possessed the same rights as natural born sons, including those rights of an inheritance. We also see in our text that being God's child means that we don't have to fear. And that's because God is our Abba. Now, the word Abba comes from the Aramaic, and that's, you know, a dialect of Hebrew. And it's basically the same as a child calling their father daddy or papa. And think about what that means for you and me, to call God Abba. First, when you think about that word, it's a family word. You know, it's what little kids call their fathers. They go up and say, daddy, daddy, daddy. You don't see someone else walking around. You don't walk up to someone else's dad and go, daddy, 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 okay? You only do that if that is your daddy, you see? So being a family word, that means we're acknowledging that God is our father and we are his children. Second, it's a kind of word that shows that our relationship to our father is one of closeness and tenderness, and childlike confidence. Again, most children that have great affection for the father run up when they're really little, grab daddy's leg, you know, go look for an uppy-uppy or something. And that's that whole tenderness and childlike confidence that we have with our dads. Third, since Christ called God Abba Father, Christ did that in his prayers, right? You and me as Christians can also call God Abba. And because that means that, you know, when you think about it, Jesus' daddy, if you will, is our daddy too. In other words, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That makes us brothers, you know, and sisters, you know. Just think about what the implications are here to be co-heirs with Christ. That means whatever belongs to Jesus, you know, also we get a share of, right? And everything that Jesus has a share of, that means, you know, we could have a share of that too. And that means that the peace that Jesus has can be our peace. And Jesus' joy, well, that can be our joy. And Jesus' love can be our love. And his faith can be our faith. And his hope can be our hope. And his rest can be our rest. And his life can be our life. And his, we can go on and on with all this, okay? Think back, though, to our poor fellow there, Timothy Gray. If any of us had known him and had known about his inheritance, his family background, would you have said something to him like, hey, you know, hey, Mr. Gray, you know, you're a descendant of a wealthy, you know, multimillionaire. You know, you're a descendant of wealthy relatives. That means you're, you know, an heir to a fortune. So why don't you get out from under that bridge and go see them, you know, go get in touch with them. Now, if we would do that for someone with such physical needs, I think we would, I would, shouldn't we do that for someone with spiritual needs? Think about it again. Suppose a Christian has, I don't know, let's say a rotten attitude. They're upset about everything. Just, you know. Shouldn't we remind them that they're an heir to the joy of Christ? You know, so why shouldn't we encourage them to ask Jesus for some help? Or what about a Christian who's just simply without a clue for whatever's going on in their life? What about reminding them that they are an heir to God's storehouse of wisdom, so why not ask for some guidance? Or what about a Christian who worries all the time about everything? Everything from, you know, why their fingernails are turning green. If they're turning green, you might want to see a doctor. To, I don't know, you know, all this COVID stuff. You know, but why not remind them instead that, you know, they are a beneficiary of God. So quit letting fear steal your sleep. Jesus has an abundant supply of peace. So why not cast your burden on him? Think about it. It's very important that we never forget our place in the family of God. That as a Christian, we are children of God and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And because of that, you know, we don't approach God as strangers, but as heirs to the promises of God. We don't approach him as strangers, but as heirs. Let's take a look at what Ephesians chapter 1 has to say about all this. And we looked a little bit at that before, but we're going to read a lot more. This is Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3, go all the way down to verse 14. There Paul writes to the Christians at Ephesus, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." We'll skip to verse 11. "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Now, I know that's a large text and there's a lot in that text. And, you know, we could do a sermon series just on that text. There's really that much there. But here are some of the highlights that I just want us to see today. First, we learn that God has made available to us every spiritual blessing. We also learn that as Christians, God adopted us as his children through Jesus Christ according to his good will and pleasure. And all of this is because of God's glorious grace that he lavished on us in Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And because we are adopted as God's children, and we receive an inheritance. Because we're adopted as God's children, we receive an inheritance from God. And as proof of that, we have been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of that inheritance. In other words, God took us in as spiritually poor orphans, right? Lost out in the world, and made us a part of his family through our faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. And I just, you know, sit and I think about what that means to be a part of God's family. There's so many things about that. You know, none of us are alone. We all have brothers and sisters in Christ all around us, all around the world, you know. We are part of an incredible family of faith that spans generations and millennia. And we have an incredible spiritual blessing right now because of our relationship to God, thanks to Jesus. Never mind our inheritance, we have blessings right now. Okay. And we have an amazing inheritance, though, that is waiting for us for when the time of redemption comes. God promises you an inheritance. He will deliver. Well, as we wrap up things today, I thought we would go ahead and read the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians there at the end of chapter 1. And this is verses 17 through 20. And that won't appear on the screen, but it should be in your sermon notes if you got that. If you're still in Ephesians, you can just follow along at 17 through 20. There Paul writes, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also in the eyes of your heart, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And reflecting upon Paul's words, it seems that it would be good for us if we pray that our eyes be open to the wonder of our spiritual blessings, you know, and the hope of our calling. We have such a wonderful hope. And the wealth of our inheritance. Don't forget who you are and whose you are and what's in store, you know. And there's that power available to us from God for those of us who believe. And if there's anyone who is not an heir of God yet, it's always my hope and prayer that that person makes the choice to call God their Abba and be adopted as his child. Scripture tells us that all you need to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Commit to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, you're born again. You know, you've started life anew. So you continue living your life for Jesus until he comes back again, or you go to be with him. And for those of us who are already Christians, who are already co-heirs with Christ and heirs of God, may we never forget our incredible spiritual blessings. And may we make the effort to lead others to our Abba, to be adopted as children too, and share in our inheritance, because there's a lot to go around and share, all right? Again, if anyone has the need to come forward this morning, whether it's to share something, seek prayer, or to become a Christian for the very first time, I'd like to encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that is going to be played next.